Après, nous le poursuivons.
Thank you for joining me this week at the Musée de la Chasse et de la Nature, the Hunting and Nature Museum housed in two centuries-old mansions in the Marais area of Paris. This often overlooked place of interest is drawing attention to itself with its latest exhibition, Safari Safarix. Safari Safarix is supposed to conjure up the Asterix cartoon. It's an exhibition for anyone who's wild about animals, has a sense of humour, and isn't put off by stuffed game. 11 contemporary artists revisit the safari theme and have a lot of fun doing it. Animal heads and bottoms poke out of walls and are some of the objets d'art which spark surprise and giggles. Museum curator Claude Dantanez says the permanent and temporary exhibition are ways of putting the practice of hunting into context, both historical and contemporary.
In the exhibition hall, everything is set for the Safari Safarix exhibition, which is trying to explore the idea of fiction in art. So all the works that we exhibit here are fake in a way. Here, for example, it's a fake collection of trophies and paintings drawn by an artist who tried to paint as if he was five different artists. Actually, he's an American artist, Mark Bird, and he's trying to show five different versions of Safari, one drawn in the 19th century, the other one in the 30s, 50s, 60s, and contemporary one. Each time, it's a different vision of Africa and the relation with animals and colonialism also. It's a very humoristic way of exploring the history of painting and art.
Today, people's relation with safaris is very, very different. It's a luxury holiday now where people may not even take a gun with them.
Yes. You know, last year we had this very bad story of the lion Cecile, which was killed by a crazy huntsman. And I think through this very sad event is seen the part of the fiction in the construction of safari itself. Because now, to satisfy the people going to Africa to shoot animals or to kill them, sometimes the animals are bred in special farms, as it is done for the lions themselves. So it's something a bit crazy, it's a kind of fiction. And this seems interesting for me to see how it's difficult to keep nature, wildlife. Now everything is artificial, even in Africa.
About the museum itself, obviously you're open all year round and the museum has existed for a long time now. When we talk about hunting, we're not only talking about safaris.
Actually, the museum was set in the 60s by the founder, François Sommer, who was a hunter himself, but very open-minded. And I think at that time, he was also very involved in preservation and protection of animals and wild nature. So through his museum, his foundation, he tries to keep very open mind to these problems, and he tries to do this museum a place where people could meet and discuss and try to confront their different opinions.
The work of the contemporary artists merges with the permanent collection of hairy beasts, animal-themed paintings and pieces, and polished engraved musket shafts. For this exhibition, New York artist Daniel Horowitz decided to use collage to reinvent antique engravings on the hunting theme.
The tradition of collage, which is invented by the Surrealists, is a contemporary and yet very traditional way of exploring, transcending borders, genres. In these works, I piece together antique engravings from the 18th, 19th, and early 20th century and combine them into creating a new, the fictitious safari. And there are 20 pieces illustrating this supposed venture into far-off land. And the result is that these works are now reintegrated into the permanent collection of the museum, which is a sort of validation as if they are artifacts integrated amongst real antique artifacts. And the visitor is asked to sort of engage in a personal safari to discover all 20 works, which are quite hidden throughout the collection.
One of Horowitz's book page size works is titled Cervus Armatus. It's an elk whose antlers have been replaced by guns. The picture sits in a display case where 15th and 16th century firearms all stand to attention, examples of fine crafts work.
Inadvertently, this is like the one piece that has like a political component to it, just because including weapons or guns into a piece of artwork. I think that in particular, this museum, which is so full of weapons and sort of tools of destruction, for this display, I had that in mind, although again, it's more of just that now these are relics of the past and we're sort of exploring them as aesthetic objects rather than as tools. However, this piece could be taken out of this context of this museum and put in, you know, in some context in the United States, and it would mean something completely different. And so I have that in mind, and who knows, you know, I might create a version of this image and for an American audience, and it would be received, I'm sure, very differently. Contextually in this museum, I don't think it is a political statement.
A big surprise in all senses is the chapel made of light wood, which greets visitors in the middle of the museum courtyard. It's the work of a multilingual and multimedia artist, Christian Gonzenbach. And when you go inside the chapel, you find a giraffe skeleton inside. It's less gruesome than a pickled Damien Hirst dissected carcass, and quite impressive nonetheless. Gonzenbach explained that this work, which appears simple, gestated for a very long time.
Actually, I'm working on it for several years. I had this image, a kind of silly image, that the form of the chapel comes from the giraffe, because they have kind of similarities in the morphology. So I built this wooden chapel, which looks like a Scandinavian chapel or something from the more primitive wooden chapel, all covered with wood, and I made it around the skeleton of a giraffe. So for the size of the chapel, I based my drawings on the size of the skeleton. And doing this, I create this similarity between the architecture of the bones of the giraffe and the architecture of the building. And as a visitor, we can enter and we find ourselves between the bones of the giraffe and the skin of the building, which is a wooden skin. And this is quite interesting, to be somewhere where you'll never be, between the bones and the skin. And also this connection between a kind of spiritual connection to the animal, which was probably the first connection we know from the cave drawings, and the actual connection, which is much different because we don't have this spiritual connection to animals anymore.
A fascinating take on various human and artistic attitudes to wild animals, to be taken, for the duration of the exhibition at least, lightly. Safari Safarix makes you think three times about stuffed animals. At the Musée de la Chasse et de la Nature in Paris until the 4th of September 2016. The museum's own permanent collection, including some works by today's artists, is atmospheric, packed full of curious objects and beautiful decor. Six of Gonzenbach's works belong to the collection.
I love this museum because it goes far beyond this idealization of hunting or killing, because our position toward animals is very ambiguous, because most of the wild animals don't have predators anymore, so they have to be regulated. So as we regulate nature, we have to kill wild animals in order to keep the nature in balance, which is very strange, and because human beings are everywhere. So killing animals for me is not something bad or good, it's just something that is related to human history. And this museum is a place of reflection about the relation between man and animal.
My thanks to museum curator Claude Dantanez, to artist Daniel Horowitz and Christian Gonzenbach, and to you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time.